For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
So tonight we're looking at operating in the voice gifts, operating in the voice gifts. And let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we commit this time to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you are in our midst. We thank you, Lord, that you look upon your word and it does not return to you void. And Father, I pray that tonight be a time where we increase in the knowledge of God, but also increase in our faith to step out in you in the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, before I get started on this, note that there is a sermon on the Victory Faith Centre website under the section The Spirit and His Work, and it's called How to Operate in Spiritual Gifts. So this one is a lead on from that, and so tonight's builds on this to encourage people to step out in faith, to step out in faith. Let's first of all look at Acts 2 verses 1 to 4. We're looking tonight at operating in the voice gifts. Operating in the voice gifts. And we'll start by looking at Acts chapter 2 verses 1 to 4. Acts 2 1 to 4. Notice what it says here. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want you to notice that part. As the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit gave the words, they were doing the speaking. Let me repeat that. The Spirit of God gave the words, the utterance, they were doing the speaking. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now it's important to understand that the Spirit of God can give words to people that they can utter. Now, obviously with the tongues, people are speaking out in an unknown language that their minds are not understanding. Their minds are unfruitful, the Bible tells us. But it's the Spirit giving them the words. And so, obviously, by faith, they're speaking out those words. Now, have a look at verses 16 to 18. Verses 16 to 18. And we see here that then Peter is giving some explanation of this phenomenon of people being filled with the Spirit. Acts chapter 1 talks about them being baptized with the Holy Ghost. We see here in verses 16 to 18 it says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." So we see where it talks about it shall come to pass in the last days. So we see that the last days church has to be a Pentecostal type church. It has to be a Spirit-filled church. It has to be a power church. Okay, so it's important for us to understand that. It's not going to be a church that is not operating in the Spirit of God. It's going to be a church that is operating in the Spirit of God, where God has and is pouring out of His Spirit upon all flesh. Now we notice that it uses the term prophesy, shall prophesy, and says your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That's a prediction, a prophecy, and prophesying is speaking in a known language as the Spirit gives the utterance. So if you're Spirit-filled, you're a candidate to be able to prophesy as you step out by faith as the Lord leads. And notice it says in verse 18, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days, which is the last days, of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. So we see the word prophesy is used in both verses 17 and 18, and we see that you have to be a servant and a handmaiden of God and be filled with the Spirit to be a candidate to be prophesying. So are you a servant of God? You're a handmaiden of God? If you are, have you been filled with the Spirit? As we saw in the Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, we saw that. People started to speak in tongues. We see also that with the pouring out of God's Spirit. And if you go to the prophecy in Joel, it talks about pouring out, that the Spirit is poured out, and it uses little s. So what is coming out of the Spirit of God is producing the spiritual power and ability and gifting to be able to speak with tongues and to also be able to prophesy. Now, that doesn't mean everyone's going to prophesy, because not everyone is going to be open to it. But it does mean that people, if you're a handmaiden or a servant of God, it does mean that you're a candidate to be able to prophesy. Now, prophesying can have predictive elements in it. We know that about the prophets right through both the Old and New Testament. It talks about that. But not always, as it's an utterance in a known language by the Spirit through an open vessel. Are you an open vessel? I pray you are. Predominantly those who are Spirit-filled. Are you Spirit-filled? If you're Spirit-filled, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and there's much to show that, there's quite a few sermons and studies we've gone through on the website, you can have a look, then you can also be open to all the gifts of the Spirit of God. And tonight we're looking at the voice gifts. We've already seen, just in the same chapter, chapter 2, that the people of God, when there's the outpouring of the Spirit of God, the outpouring from the Spirit of God, that people can speak in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance, and they can prophesy as the Spirit gives utterance as well. Now, prophesying is not equivalent to preaching. Okay, preaching is taking the word, and as the Spirit anoints you to speak out what God wants to communicate to the people. It can be preaching to the heathen. It can be preaching to people that already have the salvation of God. But the important thing is that there's the anointing of God for the Spirit of God to get through what He wants made known. Now, prophesying is not equivalent to preaching, but it can be a part of preaching. Let's have a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. There are a few conditions to operating in the voice gifts. And I'm going to be quoting Smith Wigglesworth, one of the sermons that he preached about the gifts of the Spirit and what he said about prophesying. We'll look at that in a minute. But first of all, let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 20, because there's an attitude that people can have that will completely stop the operation of the Spirit of God in people's midst, particularly if their hearts are not right to be open to receive this very valuable way of operating in the Spirit. So 1 Thessalonians 5, we'll look at verse 20, and it says, despise not prophesying. So you cannot have in your heart a despising of it, like a hating of it, or a putting it down and saying, no, I just think that's someone speaking and it's not according to the Spirit of God. That's a wrong way of viewing it, and it's certainly a wrong way of understanding it. And when you despise something, the Bible says that if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. And this comes into the ignorance of whole denominations against the Pentecostal experience of being baptized in the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Spirit, and then going on to operating in the gifts of the Spirit and in the voice gifts. We're obviously talking about tongues and praying in tongues, and also the interpretation of tongues and the gift of prophecy in operation, or prophesying. So we must not despise prophesying or put it down, but see it in its right way and in an understanding of that. To be used in the Lord, you can't despise it. You must not be ignorant of the gifts of the Spirit either. And you can't despise or look down on the move of the Spirit, and you've got to desire or covet to have the gifts operating through you. Now, if you don't fulfill those three things, not be ignorant, not despise or look down on the moving of the Spirit, and not desiring or coveting to have the gifts operating through you, if you don't fulfill that, you won't be bothered by the voice gifts being used through you, and in fact it'll probably shut you off from being used properly in the gifts of the Spirit. You'll also not have a prayer life of praying in tongues, because you don't want to know about it. And as I said, there's whole sections, sadly, of the church that has only come so far, and then they leave out completely things of Pentecost, things of the Spirit, and so on. Let's have a look at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 4, first of all. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 4. And here we see some very important things that we must take hold of. Starting from verse 1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You think about what ignorance does. Let's say that you're ignorant about driving a car. Can you drive that car? No, you can't, can you? So, if you wanted to drive a car or operate a car, you've got to get rid of that ignorance, don't you, and learn. And with the spiritual gifts, so that's a natural example. With the spiritual gifts, if you want to know how to operate the gifts or be open to that operation, you cannot be ignorant of it. And he's saying here, I would not have you ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. So what were they led by? Led by wrong things, weren't they? Carried away. Verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man Look at those words. Speaking by the Spirit of God. Think about that. No man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. So you can speak by the Spirit of God, but you're not going to put down Jesus if you're going to be speaking by the Spirit of God. It will always be Jesus is exalted. Always be Jesus is looked up to as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as the Saviour, as the Master. Okay, so I will give you to understand. See, that's getting rid of that ignorance, isn't it? You need to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God. You can see, you can speak by the Spirit of God. No man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So you'll see that the Holy Ghost will bring out statements like Jesus is the Lord, and in agreement with the Word of God, clearly, because it's through the Spirit of God that the Word of God came into being. Now, he's not going to contradict himself. Sadly, you know, the world is very contradictory to the things in the Bible. That's because it's filled with the spirit of error. But the spirit of truth should be in the midst of God's people, and they will agree with the word of truth. So you weigh up what you hear, what you see, with the word of truth. You measure that up. Same with prophesying. And prophesying has to be done out of a proper heart, and giving a message in tongues in the church, and even praying in tongues should be done out of a proper heart. Okay. Let's have a look at verses 7 to 10 of that same chapter. Verses 7 to 10. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So it's all about profiting the people of God. It's all about edifying or building up the people of God. You'll see those words right through the description of the gifts and how they're operated and so on. To profit withal. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. He wills for his people, we saw it in Acts chapter 2, he wills for his people to speak in tongues, he wills for his people to prophesy as well. And if we look at the various gifts of the Spirit there, we see that there are three that are voice gifts. In other words, they use the voice of a person. One is the gift of prophecy in verse 10. The other is the diverse kinds of tongues, so the gift of the diverse kinds of tongues, different kinds of tongues that you can speak. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. So they're all gifts of the Spirit that use the voice. Have a look at Acts 19, 1-7. Acts 19, 1-7. We see those voice gifts being used. Acts 19, 1-7. So this addresses the ignorance problem too. It addresses someone that might be desirous of being used of the Spirit of God, but they don't know a huge amount. But God can lead them and show them. Verse 1 of Acts 19 says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" Now, the term "receiving the Holy Ghost" in the book of Acts is often used to be equivalent to being baptized with the Holy Ghost or being filled with the Spirit of God. Okay? So he's saying, have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you gone on to be filled now? And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." Well, that's fairly profound ignorance, isn't it? Right? "Then he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Baptized in water, obviously, because they believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believed on him. And notice in verse 6, "And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." And I was meditating on this, and I was thinking, hey, wait a minute. Here are these people. The common thing that we see with people being filled with the Spirit or receiving the Holy Ghost is that they speak with tongues. And that's why we say, how do you know if a person's been filled with the Spirit? Well, they speak with other tongues. And then they go on with that filling in their prayer life to pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues. But what we see here, I was thinking, wait, it says they spake with tongues and prophesied. So not only were they speaking in tongues in this particular instance, but they were also prophesying, coming out with utterances by the Holy Ghost in their known language. So they were doing both in this particular time. Both. So we can see that if you're filled with the Spirit, you are able to do both. You can pray or speak out with tongues, and you can prophesy. Now there are, we can say, caveats to the prophesying. We just saw before that you wouldn't be coming out in your known language and calling Jesus accursed. You wouldn't be saying things that are contradictory to the Word of God, because that would be coming from the spirit of error, and the Spirit of God does not agree with the spirit of error. Now, a person can prophesy and yet not be a prophet in the sense of having the office of a prophet in the church. We won't turn to it, but in Ephesians 4:11, it talks about a particular ministry gift, which is the ministry gift of, you see, the various ministry gifts are there. One is pastor, teacher, apostle, prophet. Those are all listed there. But that particularly ministry gift of a prophet is an office in the church where a person is especially anointed to operate in the gift of prophecy, and often in that there'll be predictive elements in that as well. Now, there are prophets in today's church across the earth. We won't name them, but it's very clear that they exist. And you can prophesy, though, and not be a person who has that office of prophet. All right. You look at 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 and 2. This shows another condition to people who should be open to this area, not ignorant, but open to this area of understanding. It shows another condition, and it points to both these voice gifts. Okay? Or it points to tongues, and it also points to prophecy. Verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. What do you have to have if you're going to be operating in the voice gifts according to the Spirit of God? You have to have charity. You have to have love in action in your life. Otherwise, it's going to be nothing. It's going to be meaningless. It's going to be not helpful or profiting or edifying anyone. Okay? Same with the gift of prophecy. Verse 2, it says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. So it's no use trying to prophesy and you're not operating in charity. You may as well zip it up, not say a single thing. Because, and frankly, I think it's the same with if you get up to preach as well. If you don't love the brethren and love the church and love the Lord with all your heart, forget about preaching. Okay? Same with the voice gifts. Why are you wanting to do this? Why would you want to, for example, give a message in tongues or interpret that message in a service? Or why would you want to give a prophetic message using the gift of prophecy? There's one major reason. You want to edify and uplift the body of Christ. If you go across to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, first of all, follow after charity. Oh, there it is, right at the top. Follow after charity. Love and action. Follow after that. Right at the very beginning. Right at the very beginning of the chapter that is most talking about tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy, the gift of prophecy. Right at the very beginning it says, follow after charity. That should tell you something. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. That applies to us today. If you don't have a desire for it, if you don't have a desire for it, it will not just pop in for you to operate it. Okay? And I did say you could operate it in the wrong motive. If you don't have charity and you're trying to operate it, you can operate it in a manipulative way, and God's not going to be in that. We are not manipulators. We are what we could call edifiers, people that want to strengthen others, to build people up. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. God wants you to prophesy. He wants you to desire it. But you've got to do it in the right way. Verse 3, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to what? Edification, that means building up, and exhortation, that means encouragement and opening up of this is the way you should go, and comfort. We heard a prophecy on Sunday. I'm just going to ask Samantha, the associate pastor of Victory Faith Center, to come up and just tell us what you found with that prophecy on Sunday. Thanks, Samantha.
On Sunday, I had the thoughts come to me that God wants us to hope. This is what was coming into my thoughts. God wants us to hope and that he is the God of hope. So that came to me. And then just a minute or so later, Pastor Craig gave a prophecy, and in that prophecy, the Lord said, "I am the God of hope." So I knew that was of the Lord. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So you can see that God was encouraging. Thank you, Samantha. You can see that God was encouraging his people to hope in him. Not to be sight-based, but to hope in him. This is what prophecy is all about. It's a comforting thing. It's an exhortation type thing. And it's an edification type thing. So if you look in verse 4, it says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church." I want you to think about that. He that prophesieth edifieth the church. Now, I'm just speaking for myself here. When I step out to prophesy, give a message in a known language, and an utterance from the Spirit of God, I do not think beforehand, "Oh, what am I going to say and how am I going to do it?" A word or two might come and then I'll step out, and there's a flow that comes from that. Step out by faith. I know people who've started in this, and it's a little bit stuttery at the beginning, but the more they start to operate in it, the more the flow comes, because the Holy Ghost is involved in this. You know, we see that prophesying, he that prophesieth edifieth the church. God is wanting his people to be edifying the church. And this is one very important one, a way that we can do that. I just want to read from the book Smith Wigglesworth on the power of Scripture. This is from one of his sermons. And I'll just quote from this particular sermon. And this is a sermon that Smith Wigglesworth preached called "The Gifts of the Spirit" on July the 13th, 1927. And he talked a bit about the gift of prophecy. And I want you to take in what he said about the gift of prophecy. And so let me just read this to you. What he said in particular. He said, "All gifts are of no account at all without they are brought forth by the giver of the gifts. And the Holy Ghost is the one who gives the nine gifts. And he has unction, fire, zeal, and expression until those that hear are moved. Because when the Lord speaks, it changes and moves the natural, because it is supernatural. Supernatural always changes natural. Prophecy is lovely because it makes the body very full of expressions of joy." We heard about that God of hope area. "It is lovely for people all like to hear it. It is lovely when it is the Spirit moving. You be careful now when the people are very pleased to hear you prophesy. Prophecy is like tongues. No man is to have advantage in a meeting that speaks and speaks and speaks and speaks in tongues. That is not what is advantage. Advantage is that when the Spirit is upon you, you will speak in tongues and you will close down the moment you know you are at the end. What spoils it is people going on, and the hearers are tired of it because they want something which God could bring in and move quickly. Don't you think you will be heard by your mouth speaking, either by tongues or by praying or anything? You are not heard because of your mouth speaking. You are heard because you are definite. All your spiritual abilities are going to be acceptable with others as you learn how to obey the Spirit And never take advantage because you're in the place. You know, I've been in services, not here, but in past churches, where a person has got up and they've gone on and on and on and on in tongues. And it's taken up about 5, 6, 7 minutes. And you could sense the dowsing of the Spirit in it. The Bible calls it quenching of the Spirit. Now those who are spiritually aware, such as the Spirit-filled ministers, should have stepped in and done something there. But what Wigglesworth is saying there is that it's not about yourself. It's about what does the Spirit want to be done. It's about, as we've read here, edification and operating in the Spirit in that way. We've seen that we must be people that are operating in charity. We can't be ignorant of this whole area like some sections of the church are. Let me just go through a few more scriptures. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14 and we'll look at verses 23 to 28. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? So the unlearned and the unbelievers don't understand, do they? They don't understand. They're not learned in the word. Okay. Verse 24, but if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. This is the Spirit of God moving. Think about that. Okay. Verse 25, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when you come together? Isn't it important for people to come together in the church? Isn't it wonderful? Come together physically in the church. Every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Now he is a real cruncher. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. So obviously, if there's a message in tongues, there has to be an interpretation as well. Okay. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. God wants you to be praying in tongues. Okay. But not give out a message in tongues if there's got no interpretation. That's the wrong thing. There has to be an interpretation. Let the prophets speak, two or three. And prophet in this sense is those using the gift of prophecy. Let the prophets speak two or three and let the other judge. So what are you judging? Does it match with the word of God? Is the Spirit of God using this person? Is there a flow? If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. Verse 31, I think, is something we really need to get hold of. For ye may all prophesy, one by one, that all may learn, that all may be comforted. That all may be comforted. If there's a lot more we can go on in, I've brought out a few things. And let's close in prayer. And I encourage you to step out and say, Lord, use me. I desire to be used of you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord. We thank you for the infilling of the Spirit. I pray this church be known as a church that is filled with the Spirit, people filled with the Spirit, who are operating by the Spirit of God. And that there be, as we saw with Smith Wigglesworth, there be a lovely, beautiful atmosphere. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you help every person here and those who hear this sermon to grow and to increase in you, Lord, in this whole area. You desire your sons and your daughters to prophesy. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for that, Father. We praise you, Lord, and believe we receive what we've prayed for in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Amen.